what direction God wanted to go tonight. And then finally this afternoon, it came to me. And I was sensing in my heart that there are going to be some here that need a breakthrough. And I believe not only there are individuals here that need a breakthrough, but as a church body, we need a breakthrough. Amen? So the Lord put it on my heart about gaining the victory through Christ. Part of gaining the victory is having a breakthrough. Amen? So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to begin here. Let's go to verse 55. 1 Corinthians 15, 55. God has scheduled a breakthrough victory for you today. There is no foe that can defeat you. There is no circumstance that can overwhelm you unless you let it. And I'm here to say that we can have the victory. Not only can we gain the victory through Christ, but we can maintain the victory through Christ. Amen? God will give you the ability to win, and he'll give you the ability to enforce your opponent's defeat. Verse 55, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God. I think we just need to say that. Thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, who gives us the victory? God gives us the victory, and our victory comes through Jesus Christ. So if Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, and you put your faith in Jesus, guess what that makes you? A conqueror of death, hell, and the grave, or sin, death, sin, and the grave. Amen? And then he goes on to say, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Isn't that good news? Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. But thanks be unto God. Listen, death, sin, and the grave have all been defeated. And Jesus is the victor. And because Jesus is the victor and your faith is in him, you get his victory. He shares his victory with you. Hallelujah. That's good news. And let's go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And let's look at verses 4 and 5. Say, I'm an overcomer. Who is he that overcomes the world? Who are the overcomers of the world? Who are they? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, guess what? You can overcome the world. You already, just by believing that he's the Son of God, you are already an overcomer of the world. Amen? Oh, I forgot to read verse 4. For whosoever is born of God. How many people are born of God? Notice, if you're born of God, then what? You overcome the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So you can be an overcomer not by how good looking you are, not by how rich you are, not by what position you have, but by where your trust is, who your faith is in. Your faith is the overcoming factor that God has given you to overcome the world. Is an overcomer a victor? The word victory, it means a conquest. Matter of fact, these two words in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 John 5, they're the same word, same Greek word. It's a nikos. It means a concrete conquest. What's concrete? Solid, right? I don't want to just barely squeak by. I want a decisive victory. Amen? It means to triumph. It means success. The word victory is to win, is to succeed in a contest against an enemy, an opponent, or a battle. How many know we face battles every day? And we face an opponent. We have an adversary who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan would love to devour you. He would love to have you for lunch. He would love to chew you up and spit you out. But he has to get your permission to do it. He cannot just come in and devour you. He is looking for a way in. But we have an adversary who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, but we can resist him steadfast in the faith. Because when you're in faith, that's where the victory is. Your victory is not in the flesh. Your victory is not in your skills. Your victory is in your faith. Amen? Does that mean you should just let your skills go? You should combine your skills with your faith. Amen? Victory is success in overcoming a difficult situation or an obstacle. How many has ever had to face a difficult situation? How many has ever had to face an obstacle? Okay? Well, difficult situations can be overcome. Obstacles can be overcome, and we can overcome them all the time in the Lord with our faith in him. Okay? Through Christ, we have, not going to get, not will come FedEx, but we have the victory over sin, death, and the grave. If you're a believer in Christ, when you die, there will be no sting. Now, the people who love you, they will miss you. But for you, you will have no sting. For you, it'll be a promotion. So I want you to eradicate fear of death right now. Death for the believer is a promotion. Amen. That's why some of the early church believers were willing to die for the gospel, because death had no sting. Amen? They allowed their bodies to be tortured, but they would not refuse Christ. God alone is the author of victory over death. He formed the plan. He executed it in the gift of his Son, and he gives it to us personally when we face it, death. Okay? Victory is God's deliverance of his covenant people. How many know that when you have a covenant with God, you know what a covenant with God means? That anybody who's an enemy of you is an enemy of God. That's what a covenant relationship is. That means you get all of God's resources, you get all of God's protection because you're in covenant with him. And when the enemy comes against you, when things come against you, you can call on your God and he will make good on his covenant and he will come to save you, he will come to deliver you, he will protect you, he will rescue you. Because victory is deliverance for God's covenant people. And then finally, victory is God's, the ultimate victory is salvation from sin and all of its consequences. Amen? You believe in the power of the blood? Hallelujah. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now, thanks be unto God, which what? Always causes us to what? Triumph. And makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. How often does God want you to triumph? He always causes us to triumph. Always. Say, I always triumph in Christ. Because he is the source of your victory. Now let's go to Philippians chapter 4. I want to give you these. There are some things in this chapter that the Lord gives us to gain and maintain the victory in Christ. We're going to read these, and then we're going to talk about them. Amen? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for by my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Number one, if you want to gain and maintain the victory, you're going to have to stand firm. You're going to have to stand firm in the Lord. If you stand on your own, you're going to get beat. If you try to take on the devil in the flesh, he will whip you. Guess what? Your weapons are not flesh and blood, but they're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. You got to see yourself mighty in God. Amen? When you keep yourself in Christ, you can benefit from his strength. So the key to gaining and maintaining victory is you got to stand firm in the Lord. You can't be easily shaken. All right, we're going to get into that. Verse 2. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. You have to, number two, you got to agree and work in harmony with the Lord. Can two walk together unless they be in agreement? You got to agree and be in harmony with the Lord. That means you've got to run things by him. You got to agree with him. Amen? Number three is found in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. Well, I don't feel like rejoicing. Always. And again, I say rejoice in case you didn't hear it the first time. Number three is we have got to learn the art of rejoicing. How many know that we've got something to shout about? No matter what happens to us, if Jesus is in your heart, it doesn't matter. You've got to, if you want to gain and maintain the victory, you're going to have to learn how to rejoice. And if you didn't do it again, rejoice again. Rejoice until your body feels it. You may not feel like doing it the first time, but as soon as you get into it, guess what? Something's going to kick in. You got to get to the point where you can kick in. Okay? Number four is found in verse 5. Now, King James really isn't clear. He says, let your moderation be known to all men. What he's talking about is your unselfishness or your forbearance. It's talking about walking in love. If you're going to gain and maintain the victory in the Lord, we're going to have to walk in love. And the enemy will try to pull you out from walking in love. Anytime that we get into the flesh, which the opportunity is there if you want to. So when we stop walking in the Lord, because really our faith works by what? Love. So if we're not walking in love, we're going to have a hard time walking in faith. And if we're having a hard time walking in faith, then we're not going to have the victory because our victory is in our faith. See how that's connected? We're going to look into these. I'm just giving you the list right now, okay? Next one, number 5, is found in verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Do not fret or have anxiety about what? You mean you can't be anxious about anything? Uh-oh, some of us are going to have to retrain our mind right there. How many little things do we get anxious over? Well, here the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. How do we not be anxious for nothing? But everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. See, you can eliminate your anxiety if you take time to pray. Because when you pray, you transfer your trust to the Lord. So if you want to gain and maintain the victory in the Lord, you're going to have to not be anxious, not be nervous. You're not going to have to fret. Everybody go like this. That's a sigh of relief. Let's just do that one more time. Ready? Doesn't that feel good? The burdens are trying to find a place to land, and they can't even land on you when you do that. Okay? Number 6 is also in verse 6. Pray with thanksgiving. If you're going to gain and maintain the victory, you're going to have to be a thankful person. Thanksgiving means you give thanks. That means you're looking for what the Lord is doing so that you can be thankful to Him. Look, when bad things happen, you can always find some good in it. Focus on the good. Number 7 is found in verse 8. Think on right things. If you want to gain and maintain the victory in the Lord, you're going to have to be the master of your mind. You can't just think on whatever. Did you know that your body will do? Let me say it this way. Where your mind goes, your body will follow. So what have you been thinking on? Think on right things. He gives us a list here of what to think on. That's part of gaining and maintaining the victory in the Lord. I'm excited about this. Number 8, in verse 9, it says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You've got to practice what you've learned. In other words, you've got to be a doer of the word. Are you doing the word in your situation? Practice what you've learned, what you've heard, what you've seen. Maybe you've got the wrong, maybe you've been looking to the wrong example. And maybe that's why you're doing the wrong thing. Change your focus. Change your focus. You know, if you're sitting at a restaurant and the sun is shining in your face, doesn't it make a difference when they close the shade? Just that simple change of focus can make a big difference. Okay? Number 9 is found in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therefore with to be content. You got to learn how to be content. Sometimes we're always wanting, 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 but we're not content for what we have. Did you know that when you get to be content with what you have, then God can multiply it? Maybe it hasn't multiplied because we're not content. Now, I'm not saying this like in spiritual pursuits. You may not be content because you're always wanting to strive for more. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your stuff, where you are in life. Paul learned how to be content. If we could walk a couple miles in Paul's shoes and live the life, how would you like to, every meeting that you hold, you get persecuted? How would you like the Lord to call you by showing you how many things you're going to suffer? Would that make you want to accept the call? Paul did. The Lord showed him how many things he was going to suffer before he accepted the call. When he was blind for 3 days, you read it, Acts chapter 9. The Lord said, I showed him the things that he's going to have to suffer for me. What are you called to, Paul? I'm called to suffer. Ooh, I don't want your calling. It's like the cooties. Number 10 is found in verse 13. I can do some things. Oh, it doesn't say some? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We got to know that Christ empowers and strengthens us. If you want to gain and maintain the victory, you got to know where your power comes from. You got to know the source of your strength. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, if the Bible says I can do all things, how come so many people are saying I can't? Pastor, now you're messing. I know. I'm meddling tonight. Are you with me so far? Number 11 is found as verses 15 through 20. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. One church was partnering with them. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. If you want to gain and maintain the victory in the Lord, you got to help someone else who's struggling. It's not all about you. And you're not the only one who's facing what you're facing. Sometimes we think we are, don't we? But we're just not that special. I guarantee you that somewhere on this planet, someone faced what you're facing. You're not alone. Matter of fact, Jesus went through everything you did. He was tempted in all points, like we are, but with no sin. So these things we're going to talk about because I want you to gain and maintain the victory in your life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you don't come to Victory Christian Fellowship than to be defeated. Amen? Victory is part of your DNA. And I didn't even name it that, but I'm certainly taking possession of it. Amen? You go to victory because God made you a winner. You're on the winning team. You weren't picked last. You're picked because God loves you. Say, I'm a winner. Say, I'm not a loser. I'm a winner. So we're going to talk about these things. Does this excite you? All right. Let's go back up to verse 1 in Philippians chapter 4. Thanks be unto God. He always, everybody say, I always triumph. I have the victory. You've got to believe it. It didn't say that you're a victim. Thanks be unto God, he made me a victim. No. Thanks be unto God, he's given me victory. So if you're talking about how you're a victim, you're missing the mark. If you want to gain and maintain the victory, you're going to have to stand firm. You're going to have to be steadfast. Go with me to Psalm 27, verse 14. Obviously, we're only going to cover one tonight. I almost got the alphabet and subpoints on this, just this one. Psalm 27. Verse 14. I'm tired of Christians being defeated and defeating themselves. You know how you defeat yourself? When you agree with the liar. When you agree with the liar, the enemy, the Satan, the father of lies, when you start saying what he says about you, you're defeating yourself. When you start talking about others like he talks about them, you're defeating them. Darkness should have no part in you. We ought to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So if you want to stand firm, sometimes you're going to have to wait on the Lord. That means you cannot be impatient. I'm sorry, but what's a fruit of the Spirit? Patience. Sometimes patience began a work in you, and you want to cut that work short. The work of patience is not complete. If patience work is not complete, you're going to the fight missing something. In other words, you're a little undone. You want to eat raw pork? Or do you want to eat, well, maybe you don't want to eat pork at all. But you know what I mean. Certain food items have to be cooked until the cooking is complete, otherwise they don't taste right. And this is one of the tactics of the enemy. He will pull you into impatience. And he'll cause you to react out of the flesh. And guess what? Now you're on his territory. That happens all the time. Satan can't make you. but he can give you a thought, an idea, and a suggestion. And you could listen to that, and you could act on it, and now you've entered in. And he just threw you the ball and what you did with it. So you got to wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. See, when you wait on the Lord, how long should you wait until you're strong? Until you receive his strength. Amen? Until you're done cooking. You don't want to go half-baked. Psalm 125. Psalm 125. This is just step number one in gaining and maintaining the victory in the Lord. Psalm 125. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. Man, when you trust in the Lord, you're like a mountain. How many mountains move quickly? You see the Alps just picking up. Oh, we're just going to move over here. Mountains don't move quickly. And when you trust in the Lord, when you got to put your trust in him, you're like Mount Zion. You're like a mountain which cannot be removed, but abides forever. Let me tell you something. What does that mean? It means when you endeavor to believe God for something, whatever it is you need, want, or desire, you're believing God. You've got a choice. How quickly are you going to move from what God said? You know, what if Abraham would have said, you know what, Sarah, I just think we're too old. We cannot have a child. If Abraham would have said that, first of all, I think Sarah would have slapped him. No, but he had an opportunity. He could have gotten wore out. There were times when Abraham began to doubt. What are you going to give me, God, seeing I go childless? I think that's in Genesis 15. He was focusing on what he didn't have versus what God said. The question is, how long are you going to believe God? A minute? An hour? A day? Whoo, man. Whew, what a day. I've been believing God today. Are you going to believe God for a week? What's my point? My point is, don't stop believing God. When did faith become? If faith is eternal, why do we want to put it on a timetable? As far as God is concerned, faith is now. If you've got to believe that you receive before you have. Let's go to Acts 14:22. Acts 14:22. You got a few more minutes for me? Let me just give you a couple more here. Acts 14:22. Well, let's back up to verse 19. And there came certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persecuted the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now, you have to understand something. Paul was preaching. This group, motivated by a demonic spirit, rose up and persecuted Paul. They stoned him. Now, when they stoned a person, they would put the person down a little bit lower. They'd be elevated, and they'd throw rocks the size of your fist at your head. Okay? And you can just imagine what happens to your body as you get those rocks hitting you. And Paul was probably unconscious, so they dragged him out of the city. All right? Howbeit, as the disciples stood around him, he rose up and came into the city. Can you say amen? They just stoned him in the city. They thought he was dead. The disciples gathered around him. They probably prayed. And Paul rose up. Paul probably got resurrected. And instead of saying, okay, boys, I'm done for today, he went back into the city. And the next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Do you think Paul felt pretty good the next day? But he kept on, didn't he? Now, maybe he got healed. Maybe he was totally and completely healed when he rose up. Bible doesn't tell us. But he went into the city and then he traveled the next day. You know? But notice this. Verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. That we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Listen, we've got to be steadfast, immovable, and abounding in God's work. It doesn't matter what comes against us. Are you an overcomer or not? You're either an overcomer or you're overcome. You're either the victor or the victim. Choose what you want to be. You know, you got to be like one of those buoys in the ocean. Try to push one of those buoys down. What do? Boop, they pop right back up. Boop, pop right back. Boop. Listen, you got to keep popping up. Amen? Don't give in for excuses as to why you can't do what God said do. You know, as a pastor, I see people, they get excited about the Lord, but then something happens. And they start giving all these other excuses as to why they can't do this or why they can't do that. But you know what? I want to encourage you to be steadfast, to stand firm. Yeah, you will have to go through some trials. Sorry, that's life. I wish Jesus didn't have to go to the cross, but he did. You think that was easy? You know, I mean, if you were to look at some of Jesus' responses to his messages, some were good and some were not so good. Sometimes people wanted to kill him. But you know what? Jesus did not use any excuse not to fulfill his mission on earth. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anyone stop you from fulfilling what God wants you to do. Because ultimately, you're not going to stand before anybody else other than the Lord. We've got to be responsible to the Lord. Amen? And do you realize that the Lord, things are happening in this earth at a rapid pace? And things are very much moving closer and closer. We are picking up momentum for the Lord's return. And the best thing that we could be doing is be about what he called us to do. And that means we got to stand firm. You know, Pastor Fiona and I, we passed up marvelous opportunities to quit. And believe you me, there were opportunities to quit. There was pressure that the enemy applied on us. And there were times that we came close, but you know what? And through it all, through the things that the devil orchestrated, he wanted us to stop loving people. Because, you know, the devil uses people. And the reason he uses people is he wants you to get a bad taste about people. But when you're in the people business, you better not get a bad taste about people. You know, I have seen a few people that have left this church, and some for the right reason, some for not the right reason. And I've seen them in public place, and you know what I do? I smile, I say hi, and I'm sincere as I can be about it. And it doesn't matter if they hurt me or hurt my family. My faith is in God. Amen? And no matter what Satan tries to do, we're not going to stop loving people. I'm going to stand firm in faith. I'm going to stand firm in love. And nothing that Satan can try to do is going to change that. Amen? Well, we've only gotten to step one in gaining the victory. But I'm confident that we'll get to a few more steps next week. Amen? But I want you to stand up. And I don't believe that God initiates a series like this without reason. I believe that there are some people here tonight that are going through some things that are challenging your victory, that are coming against you or your family or your body or your finances or your calling. And I think that God wants to help you. I think God's power, His ability is here tonight. His love is here. And He wants to minister to you. Amen? So if that's you, I would like the opportunity to pray for you and believe that the power of God is going to touch you. So if that's you, and if you want prayer, the altar's open. Come on down. And if you can play some music, maybe the first song that we did for worship. All those who come up here right now, say, I am not defeated.
I am not defeated.
I am not on the brink of defeat.
I'm on the brink of a
breakthrough.
Things in my situation
are turning around right now. The devil's not going to get his way. God is going to have his way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you go ahead and play that? Hallelujah.
Love and beauty.